We've all been brainwashed by diet culture. We grew up with it. We are still,
No.
yes, I know. Breaking news, we are all brainwashed. And especially when we look at thyroid, because women with thyroid conditions often carry extra weight and they don't like it. So they're most women with thyroid problems are often looking to lose weight. And the way that we've been trained to lose weight is that you eat less, you go on some kind of diet, and you move your body more. Most of us, have realized that that approach really doesn't work very well, especially when there's a thyroid condition, but yet we keep trying it over and over again.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So nothing quite gets in the way of badassery like low energy. Unrelenting low energy. And while we've all been taught to take a little bit more iron or at least have a look to see whether or not that's the cause, about 20 million Americans, and these numbers transfer just as well into Canada, are actually dealing with thyroid conditions. Disproportionately, this affects women more than men. And the startling part of it is that 60% of the people with thyroid conditions don't even know they are happening. My guest today, Dr. Sarah Vaudemoncoeur, is a naturopathic doctor with an explicit focus on helping women handle the thyroid and energy conditions that are interfering with their ability to live their absolute best lives. Through her clinic, group programming, and a series of online initiatives, Sarah has really curated an opportunity for herself to work with people to help take their lives to the next level. Today, we are talking all about thyroid, what we need to be looking for, what we need to be eating, and what some of you might be doing to actually put yourself further at risk. We talk the science, the testing, the energetics, the big picture of what you need to know to have optimal energy and a healthy thyroid. It is my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Dr. Sarah Vaudemoncoeur. Dr. Sarah Vaudemoncoeur, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here today.
Well, we have a really important conversation today because we're talking about energy and the epicenter of energy, the thermostat of energy for the body, the thyroid. Sarah, can you share with everyone a little bit about your journey as a naturopathic doctor and why this became an area that you really wanted to focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in a medical family. So I had lots of people around me who were in healthcare, and I was just always very interested in health. So I was the teenager in high school who brought these like beautifully packed healthy lunches. And that's just something that came very easily and naturally to me. And in university, I thought, like many people, that I would end up in medical school. But almost by accident, I feel like I discovered naturopathic medicine. And I joke now that I knew very little about naturopathic medicine when I arrived at CCNM, which is the naturopathic college. I had never seen a naturopath. I didn't fully understand, I think, what they really did, but I really just fell in love with the philosophy, and that's what really drew me to it. Which is a large investment to make based on a philosophy. But when I arrived there, I just felt like it was the perfect place for me to be. And it just really cemented that that was the right path for me. And so when I entered practice about 10 years ago, I just was noticing that a lot of women were just really unwell, and they weren't getting the answers that they needed to explain why they were feeling so unwell. So they were seeking, a different approach, or they were just looking for someone to help them understand, like, why am I tired all the time? Why do I feel exhausted, even if I'm getting, 8 hours sleep every night? And so I became really interested in this concept of fatigue and low energy and what's contributing to so many women having, you know, these concerns. And that really led me towards the thyroid. And so I personally have never had a thyroid problem, so I don't bring personal experience necessarily. But having worked with women for the last 10 years, I've just realized how important thyroid health is to our overall health, because thyroid affects your entire body. Like you said, it's the thermostat. So if your thyroid is not working well, it literally affects the speed at which everything else in your body happens. So it really causes a lot of, you know, of symptoms and disruption if the thyroid is not working well. So I just became really passionate about helping women access the, you know, the answers that they're looking for, and then providing them with solutions that they can go home with and feel really confident that they're able to implement into their daily life. That's still going to give them that energy that they're looking for and really start to kind of reset and heal that thyroid. And just one of the things that I've just recently kind of come to realize is that, you know, even though I don't have personal experience with a thyroid problem, one of the things that I find really interesting is that my gift is my voice, right? So I've always been someone who loved speaking and communicating. And I think we'll talk a bit about this later, but the thyroid is really the center of speech and of speaking your truth. So the way that I look at this is this is how I can contribute, right? I can use my voice to help women learn more about their thyroid, to help educate them, and to really help empower them so that they can, you know, have a really healthy, happy, and feel good life, even if they do have a thyroid condition.
It's funny, as you were mentioning, you're like, I don't have a thyroid condition. My brain was like, not yet. And
yes.
Listen, I'm not projecting on you. But the reason I say that is women are so susceptible to thyroid conditions, which is why, regardless if you're listening and you have one or not, I really think it's actually important that you heed this information. It's like something you stick in your back pocket, because when it comes to energy, I feel like everyone's so quick to be like, oh, you know, I just went on iron again. My energy's low. Mm-hmm. It's like the only thing we know to question as women. And once you really get past, like, I'm going to say the age 25, like you get into your 30s, yeah, we should rule out iron. And then the next thing we should be looking at is your thyroid, because it is a highly susceptible area in someone's body, in particular for women.
Absolutely. And 80% of people who have thyroid conditions are women. And it's believed that 50 to 60% of people with a thyroid condition are not yet diagnosed. So we literally have like millions of women on this planet who have a thyroid condition but don't know it yet. And so they don't realize that so many of their symptoms are probably due to thyroid. And just in terms of timing, and it's funny that you say that, because actually on my to-do list is to go get my thyroid tested, because I have been dealing with more profound fatigue lately, which, you know, could be due to a variety of factors. But anytime we have high levels of stress, which I'm going to guess most of us are experiencing right now with everything going on.
Yeah.
After any major hormonal change, so whether that's pregnancy, miscarriage, menopause, or after any type of major infection. So if you've had like a major cold or a pneumonia or, you know, a mono is a common trigger, all of these things are going to be triggers that could cause you to all of a sudden, you know, develop a thyroid condition.
Yeah. So for those of you who are out there and being like, that was so mean of Megan to do that. No, I wasn't I wasn't being mean. And we both know that. We both know that there's a high degree of susceptibility. And it's interesting you say 80% of people with thyroid issues are women. My husband was diagnosed with a thyroid condition this summer. He's a physician. We both missed it because we didn't think about it. Like, it wasn't the first place, the first place we went, because it is so pervasive in women. What are some of the symptoms that we should be looking for as a red alert that our thyroid might be an issue, that are somewhat distinct from iron deficiency, for example?
Yeah. So the way that I describe living with a sluggish thyroid or hypothyroidism is it's going to feel like you're living your life in slow motion. Everything feels more difficult because, again, everything is just not working the way it should. So a few of the key things that you want to look at are feeling really tired or not rested despite getting good sleep. So if you're getting 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep every night, you feel that it's good quality sleep, but you wake up and you feel like you haven't slept at all, or you still feel this deep fatigue, that would be a big, red flag for thyroid. The other thing is feeling cold. Women with thyroid conditions tend to be very, very cold, and it's like this deep internal cold. And I can always see these women from a mile away because they're completely overdressed for the weather. So they're either in my office and they keep their parka on for the entire 1 hour, appointment that we have together, or they're just wearing way too many clothes for what would be reasonable for that season. So those are two of the kind of key ones that I look for. But just this like feeling of heaviness in the body, joint pain, puffiness and water retention, weight gain, brain fog is another really common one that's quite consistent with thyroid. So if you're finding it just like it's hard to think straight, it's hard to make decisions, it's hard to concentrate, those would all be signs to get your thyroid checked.
I will also say that those are all symptoms of a global pandemic, and managing your life throughout. So it's important. It's important to have that blood work done.
The other piece I'll just throw in there, because this is something I've been seeing more lately and it breaks my heart, is if you have had a miscarriage, you need to get your thyroid checked. Mm-hmm. And you need to not be told that you have to wait to have 3 miscarriages before someone will run any testing. Because thyroid conditions are also a very common cause of infertility and miscarriage. And so we want to make sure that we're keeping those in mind if those are present.
Yeah, it is such a great point. And it's something that we echo and talk about all the time on this podcast, which is you have to have the knowledge and information to self-advocate in our in our medical systems. And I don't care if you're in the US or Canada or where you happen to be, you really do have to advocate for yourself to get the care and the expediency of care that most of us need. So if we're talking about thyroid, let's talk a little bit about what it looks like to actually start to address thyroid. So like with anything, what we don't know, we make all of these presuppositions around. And the thing I love about naturopathic medicine and the work that you are doing is that being diagnosed with a thyroid condition does not mean that you need to be on medication for the rest of your life. We're not now handing you over to the medical system. There are so many things and so many tools that we have access to. Can you start to break that down?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I say all the time. Taking care of your thyroid involves a whole lot more than just popping your pill every morning and going for like your annual TSH test. It would be lovely if it was that simple, but there's a lot more. So what I always try to explain to people is that, again, your thyroid is affecting everything in your body, and it's also being affected by everything that's going on in your body. So when I think about thyroid, I think about 3 key points. The first part is the brain, and that's because the brain is the first place that is going to signal your thyroid what to do. So you need your brain, and specifically your pituitary gland, which is in the brain, to be sending the right signal to your thyroid. Stress is going to play a huge role in that. And so that's a big part of what we look at, is how do we keep stress levels manageable so that the brain feels safe enough to send the right signal to the thyroid. The second piece is the thyroid itself. So with that, we want to make sure that we're providing your body with the nutrients or the ingredients that it needs to make thyroid hormone. So there's 2 key things that I always tell people about. One is iodine. So when we look at thyroid hormones, they're mostly made of iodine. So your body needs iodine in order to be able to make these specific hormones. And it also needs something called tyrosine, which is an amino acid. And this is something that comes from protein. So it's really important that women and men are consuming adequate amounts of protein and iodine so that their body has the building blocks that the thyroid needs to make the right amount of hormones. And then the third part is basically the rest of your body. So once your thyroid makes hormones and releases them, your body actually has to take those hormones and convert them into the active form so that they can use them. And this is happening especially in places like our liver, our kidneys, our brain, and our muscle. So we need to make sure that the rest of the body is healthy so that the body can actually transform and use these thyroid hormones. So that's where we will look at, you know, hydration for your kidneys, looking at your digestion in terms of your liver and your intestines, looking at your stress, your movement, because all of these pieces are going to help create a body that is supportive of your thyroid. So it's not just, you know, take this thyroid support and see you later. It's like, what's happening in the entire system and how is that impacting your thyroid?
Well, and there's no way to deal with something that addresses every element of your body without being equally holistic in your approach to care, which is what I love about this. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we do that make us more vulnerable to issues with respect to thyroid, in particular our diets.
Yes.
And diets are like, this is where like women run rogue and we engage in online folklore and we sometimes do a little bit more damage than we think we're doing. Let's break it all down. Restrictive diets, keto diets, like where do we fall on the spectrum of, I'm going to say, diagnostic diets and their impact on the thyroid?
Absolutely. So one of the things I've like come to realize lately, so I'm 38 years old, and I think a lot of people listening are kind of in a similar age category. Like, we've all been brainwashed by diet culture. We grew up with it.
We are still,
yes, I know. Breaking news. We are all brainwashed. And especially when we look at thyroid, because women with thyroid conditions often carry extra weight and they don't like it. So most women with thyroid problems are often looking to lose weight. And the way that we've been trained to lose weight is that you eat less, you go on some kind of diet, and you move your body more. Most of us, you know, have realized that that approach really doesn't work very well, especially when there's a thyroid condition, but yet we keep trying it over and over again. And especially in the thyroid space, if you Google thyroid diet or Hashimoto's diet, most of the diets that you're going to find are very restrictive. And these are diets that I used to recommend and that I'm now really moving away from. And the reason I don't love restrictive diets is that as soon as you restrict either the amount of food that you're consuming or you cut out an entire food group or multiple food groups, that creates a stress response in your system. And when your body feels stressed, what it's going to do is it's actually going to slow down your thyroid. And the reason it does that is that when your body is stressed, it wants you to survive. That is its number one goal, is how can I help you survive? And one of the ways that we can survive longer is by slowing down our metabolism so that we don't need as much food to survive, but also so that we're not using up too much energy. So we get really tired, we don't burn a lot of calories because our body is just trying to keep us safe and alive. So when you do this over and over again, you are essentially, number one, causing stress on your brain and on your thyroid, but in the long run, you're also damaging your metabolism. Because every time you engage in this type of restrictive dieting, again, your body is very smart. Your body's going to say, okay, she's eating less calories, so I'm just going to burn less calories. I'm going to slow this whole operation down. And once you slow things down, it's a lot harder to get them started back up. So when women have been chronically dieting, it often feels like they have to just eat less and less and less because they're not able to lose weight. So I'm really focused on teaching women that that is not necessary to do in order to heal your thyroid. I'm also really passionate about teaching women about the harm that comes from restriction, both physical, but also mentally and emotionally. And I'm really trying to teach women how to nourish their bodies, which is a very different approach. So instead of focusing on all the foods that we're told we can't eat or that we shouldn't eat, what are the foods maybe that we don't have in our diet right now that we can add or increase so that we feel satisfied, we don't feel restricted, we're eating foods that we love and that taste delicious, and the body is getting the nutrients and the calories it needs, again, to feel safe and to allow the thyroid to do its job.
So one food that makes me feel tremendously safe is excessive amounts of of gluten and croissants.
Yes.
But I have celiac, so I can't eat it.
So you can't go there.
I can't go there. But can we talk about, in particular, I don't want this to open like the can of worms with respect to restrictive diets.
Eat a chocolate cake every day because you feel like it.
Right, yeah. Right. That will lead to other problems. But can we talk in particular about gluten?
Yes.
Gluten has been such a pervasive presence in thyroid issues.
Yeah. So gluten is a food that I will encourage people to remove as a trial. So I used to tell everyone with Hashimoto's, you can't eat gluten, like say goodbye, you're not having it anymore. And I've actually kind of changed my tune because for some people, and I'm one of these people, I feel much better without gluten. So I make a conscious choice not to have it because my body prefers it that way. Not everybody has a gluten sensitivity. Some people do, and certainly if we're dealing with Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmune version of hypothyroidism, absolutely, you should try a gluten-free diet and see if you feel different and also see if it impacts your blood markers. But these like blanket statements that just because you have this condition, it means you have to follow this particular diet, I think doesn't benefit anyone because it takes out all of the like individual parts of it, which is that we all have different genetics. We have different backgrounds in terms of where our ancestors came from. We have different social and maybe religious, you know, food preferences. So I try to really make it personal to the person. And at the end of the day, I want my patients to leave my office feeling confident, and I want them to feel really good that they can follow the plan. And when we recommend really restrictive diets and even telling someone like you can never eat gluten again, assuming that they're not celiac, in my experience, it actually just causes more stress than benefit. So I'm just more cautious around that now.
Yeah, I agree. I've been trying to be kinder with myself around some of these elements. And we have a gluten rule in our household. I'm like, you have to alert me if it's worth it. And I have a criteria of worth it. And honestly, those few times where my husband's like, this croissant was totally worth it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have one. And the most remarkable thing, I didn't die.
Exactly.
Right? And it satisfied this like, oh, I'd love to just have a little bit of gluten. And then I go back to not having it, not having these like super strict boundaries, I actually found created this tremendous sense of relief for me personally. And I live in this world. Like I get these things differently than the average person.
Just because we're naturopaths doesn't mean we don't love bread. You know?
Or put cream in our coffee.
I don't know where that rule was put out, but it's not true. But just even this morning, I was talking with a patient and we were talking about as soon as you tell yourself you cannot have something, your desire for it goes up significantly. Right. So when we're telling people you can't eat gluten, you can't eat sugar, you can't, all you do is walk around all day thinking about gluten and dairy and sugar. Whereas a more balanced approach would maybe be like, try not to have all your food be wheat based, maybe just have more variety, maybe try other grains. But when you don't come at it from a place of restriction, it doesn't cause as much stress on the body. It's not as difficult to follow. And it's looking at things from just like a more, like a kinder perspective.
Yeah. And I want to go in a little caveat here. And I've talked about this over the last few episodes, but I have a lot of people who hesitated ever coming into my office because they're like, oh, I thought you'd take away my gluten or my coffee or my wine or my, like, they really had this association that coming to see me as an ND, or I think in your case, you as an ND, was somehow going to interfere with the quality of life that they had. And so the fear of losing the food or the whatever it was more painful to them than the symptoms they were experiencing. And here's the plug for naturopathic medicine is that, you know, we can get away with having the bread or having the wine or having the indulgences of life because we know how to hack the other side. We know how to create that balance in a really strategic way. So if you've been hesitating seeing someone because you're scared about what it might do to your to the things that you really love within your lifestyle, I'm going to encourage you to put that in the category of limiting belief because I think you can have your health and your indulgences at the same time.
Totally. And like, I'm a big believer, there's no one food that you can eat that is going to make or break your health, right? We need to like take a step back and look at the big picture. And like you just said, if you're eating well and taking care of yourself, like you can have a croissant and a glass of wine. It's not going to derail your health, which I think is a lot more like balanced way of looking at nutrition and looking at health, that not every single food that crosses your lips is going to cause, you know, harm or damage.
Can we talk about two diets in particular Yes. that I know a lot of women are experimenting with and I would love your opinion on, and that Mm-hmm. is the ketogenic diet as well Yeah. as intermittent fasting. What influence Yeah. do they have on the thyroid?
Right. So the keto diet is a very low carbohydrate diet. And what we know about thyroid is that very low carbohydrate diets can negatively impact what's happening with your thyroid hormone. So specifically what happens is, again, when your thyroid releases hormone, it releases a hormone called T4. And that T4 has to get converted into the active form, which is T3. That's the one that like gives you energy and makes you feel good. When you're on a restrictive diet, especially a very low carb diet, that activation is slowed down, which means you're not going to get as much of that active thyroid hormone being produced if you're on a keto diet. So I personally don't recommend the keto diet. If someone is on the keto diet and they feel really good on it, I will run a thyroid panel just to make sure that there are no unintended consequences that they're not aware of. But it's not something I personally recommend as a practitioner. In terms of the intermittent fasting, it's interesting because I think there are a lot of benefits to intermittent fasting. But I think, again, especially as women, because we are more prone to thyroid conditions and because our hormonal landscape is very different than men, I think we need to be very careful about long periods of fasting. So I generally encourage women to try to have a 12-hour fast overnight, meaning if you had breakfast at, you know, 7 or 8 a.m., try to like wind down your eating around 7 or 8 p.m. And that's because we know that there's lots of benefits, you know, for women with that type of fasting. But I don't really encourage the more classic, like a 16-8 fast where you're fasting for 16 hours and only eating in 8 hours. Again, I think that can definitely have some more negative impacts on the thyroid if you're not careful with that.
Yeah. And I'll just share earlier this summer. So I had been doing an intermittent fasting protocol for a period of time and I felt okay on it. And I eased my way into it. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do now is I'm going to stick a 2-week glucose monitor mm-hmm. on. So I use this, I could just connect to the app at any moment. I could see what my glucose was. And what was interesting for me, because I was still fatigued. I didn't have as much energy as I wanted. My blood glucose was less than 3. And Ooh. So I was constantly in a hypoglycemic state. The good news is I control my blood sugar really, really well, but I'm so efficient with it that doing the intermittent fasting just put me in a place where I couldn't even access the fuel I needed to be able to operate at my best. And it was really important data for me because what it meant was my body was I'm obviously not talking to you, Sarah. I'm talking to everyone. My body was constantly stressed.
Totally. So,
right? I hit one category at the expense of the other. I wouldn't have known that if I didn't have that data.
Yeah. And low blood sugar is a very common stress. And this is one of the things I think is really interesting. When we think about stress, we always think about mental, emotional stress, which absolutely is important. But we forget that food can also be a source of stress. The type of food that you're eating, the amount of food that you're eating, and the timing in which you eat your food can cause stress. And low blood sugar is a perfect example. If you have low blood sugar, your body's main priority in that moment is to raise your blood sugar. And one of the ways it does that is by releasing cortisol, which is a stress hormone, which helps raise your blood sugar. Cortisol has a negative impact on your thyroid. So if you're walking around with a blood sugar imbalance, which is a physiological stress, meaning a stress that comes from kind of inside the body, that is also going to have a negative impact on your thyroid. So yeah, I think it's great that you share that because we have to be careful with some of these very like trendy practices. They don't work for everybody.
They don't. And often what we're doing them is an isolation of the appropriate data. and that individualized understanding of where we're at. So if you really want to reap the benefits of going on a ketogenic diet, then work with someone mm-hmm. who's first going to assess that it's right for you, and two, it might not be, and they might have something even better. So it's really, and the other piece, and you alluded to this before, so much of the research related to keto diets and intermittent fasting and all these different pieces is all done on men.
Yeah.
And we have a whole different epidemic of disease that implicate and impact women. And it's really, really important that we aren't doing this one size fits all. This is not a place to be black or white in your philosophy with respect to eating or how you approach your health.
Mm-hmm. The other piece that I'll just add quickly around nutrition, which is something that I'm working on myself, is this concept of intuitive eating, right? So instead of outsourcing eating and letting someone else tell you what you should eat and when you should eat, I'm working on teaching women to actually tune in, to go into your own body and realize that your own body is the best person to tell you what to eat and when to eat. But again, we've become so disconnected that most of us eat based on these rules, or we eat because it's a certain time on the clock. We don't actually check in, am I actually physically hungry right now? No, it's noon, this is when I eat my lunch. So part of the work that I'm doing, you know, on myself and that I'm working on with my patients is learning to tune into your actual hunger and fullness signals, and to use that as your guide to help you decide when you should eat. Some people are starving in the morning and they need to eat breakfast. Some people are not, so they can eat a later breakfast. But again, you want that to be based on your own cues and kind of your own balance in terms of what's happening in your body.
Right. I think these are such great points. And I know so much of your research on this and philosophy in this is around looking at blue zones with respect to health. Can you share mm-hmm. with people a little bit about what the heck we're talking about when we talk about blue zones and what those findings indicate?
Totally. So blue zones are five different regions throughout the world where they have people who live the longest and healthiest lives. And what they did is they kind of looked at what habits or practices that these five, you know, regions had in common that they feel allows them, the people who live there, to have really long and healthy lives. So from a nutrition perspective, none of these zones are on a diet. They're not doing keto, they're not doing paleo, they're not doing raw vegan. They eat a wide variety of foods. It's mostly plant-based, but all of them except one in California includes meat in the diet. It includes much smaller portions than what we typically eat in North America. But they're eating a wide variety of foods. And the other thing that's really different is that mealtime for them is a social event. Right? So when we look even at the amount of time that we spend eating in North America, we spend about on average an hour a day to consume all of our meals. Whereas in blue zones and places in Europe, they're spending at least 2 hours a day enjoying their meals. And part of that is that, again, mealtime is a social time with family. So it's not just about the food that you're eating, but it's also the environment in which we consume our food that's really different. The other thing that that we see in blue zones is natural movement. So again, they're not going and doing, you know, CrossFit or triathlon or, you know, more intense types of exercise. Their daily life is set up in a way that includes natural movement. They walk a lot. They do more manual labor in terms of gardening. So they're just moving their bodies more throughout the day. And then the other thing that's really key, and this is something I'm bringing a lot more into my practice, is that they really focus on the sense of community and belonging. And one of the things which I know you're super passionate about is they're really tapped into their purpose, and they live their life in a way that really honors their purpose. So these are some of the pieces that I'm being really inspired by to see how can we take some of these principles and bring them into our, you know, our more fast-paced kind of North American lifestyle, but to help people, you know, practice some of these habits and gain all the benefits that can come from that.
Yeah, the Blue Zone research is really so fascinating, and it lets us step back and go a little bit big picture, which I think is one of the things that's missing in so many of the conversations that we're having nowadays. I want to make one last connection here, Sarah. And like, mm-hmm. once we get through all the organic pieces and the influence of diet and stress and testing and really the science behind what's happening with thyroid and how we can address it functionally, there's a component here that I think rarely, if ever, gets addressed in Western medicine, and importantly has a place on the table when we're looking at it holistically. And that's the energetic connection of thyroid. Mm-hmm. That is what we have all seen as clinicians in terms of, you know, there's something else going on here with an individual experiencing a thyroid issue. And I'm wondering if you can speak to what that looks like clinically for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's really interesting to start to look at kind of the mental and emotional patterns or things that we might notice with people who have thyroid conditions. And if we even look at where the thyroid is located in the body, so for those who don't know, it's located kind of in the base of your neck, it's halfway between your head and your heart. And so if we want, you know, energetically and physiologically, if we want the thyroid to be balanced and to be working well, we need to have a balance between the head and the heart. And we live in a society that is extremely head focused. Most of us do work that is very intellectually based. Most of us are living 100% in our minds. We're always thinking and projecting and worrying and all of those types of things. And sometimes we're really disconnected from our more kind of emotional part, which is our heart. And then you have other people who are the opposite. They're just fully emotional and they have a hard time, you know, maybe making a more rational or like thought-informed decision. So one of the things that I always think about is, again, if you want energy to be flowing well through the thyroid, you need to have a good balance between the head and the heart. And when we look at what the thyroid energetically relates to, it really relates to your ability to speak your truth and to be, you know, honest with your words. And I think, I know, actually, as a woman and as someone who works with women, a lot of us are not doing this for many, many reasons, but we are afraid to say what's on our mind because either we don't have the confidence to say what we truly feel, or we are so afraid that we're going to hurt somebody, offend somebody, let someone down, that we are willing to keep whatever we're thinking about inside of us, where it actually ends up hurting us, because we are so well trained to not want to disrupt and hurt other people. So a lot of us are not speaking our truth and we're not saying what's on our mind. And that can create, you know, some energetic blockages, especially around the thyroid.
Before we jump into the rapid fire questions, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Fullscript. Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. It has the industry's most comprehensive catalog of products, has features like refill reminders and auto reorder, and even sends medically reviewed wellness content to patients on your behalf. I've been using Fullscript in my practice for years, so I have firsthand knowledge of the impact it can have on your patients and your business. First of all, it's super simple to use and loaded with features. Features like EHR integrations, customizable dosage instructions, and an evidence-based protocol library. It makes integrative medicine feel, well, integrated. It incorporates itself into your way of working, with your approach to wellness even as that evolves, and most importantly, with your patients' day-to-day lives. As someone wanting to address patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. And if you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Tell them I sent you. Such an awesome way of putting it and so concise. I feel like this is the perfect place to transition this interview. And I have something that I like to call our KPIs. So just like we have key performance indicators in our business, we have them in our lives as well. So I've got some rapid fire questions for you, Sarah. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, what's the most impactful book you have read during the pandemic?
Untamed. I've listened to it 3 times. Everyone needs to read it.
It's so, I feel like it's just kind of like marching orders for women. Like
it is.
Just lean in.
Yeah. It just literally felt like exactly what I needed to hear and read in these past 6 months.
What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your own health?
My water intake and my sleep.
I like it. It's not going to the CrossFit box.
No, I don't do CrossFit. It's just not me. And I don't want it to sound like I'm anti-CrossFit. Do whatever exercise makes you feel happy and good. But just, we have this idea that we have to do such intense levels of everything to get benefit. And that is not true.
Right. If we're not doing the hardest thing of everything, we're not doing it at all.
That's right.
Yeah. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I ran a marathon a few years ago, and that felt pretty badass. I also stopped running immediately after I finished the marathon, but I did it.
That's awesome. I was like, speaking of type A endeavors.
Oh, yes. Yes.
What do you do for fun or play?
Reading. I love reading. And I just love walking. And I've taken up walking in a forest nearby where I live right now. And that's my go-to way to unwind right now.
Amazing. And last question for you, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I'm so excited to get to answer this question because I've heard it so many times on your podcast. I'm going to say that we can learn it because if you had met me in university, I was not someone who ever thought she would be an entrepreneur. And I don't think anyone who knew me thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. It was almost like a laughing joke that I took an intro to business class. So I'm just, yes, I did really well in the class, but it was so far outside my like science background for me at the time. So I'm going to say you can totally learn it. If you have the right like intention and passion, you can totally learn to be an entrepreneur.
Amazing. I love that answer. And speaking of entrepreneurship, you are up to some pretty awesome stuff. Can you share with everybody? You've got a really cool upcoming webinar and program that you're launching for people.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm launching a new group program for people with thyroid conditions called the Happy Thyroid Reboot. So it's going to be a group program happening online, and that starts on October 5th. And I'll be having some free webinars in the weeks leading up to that on how to reboot your thyroid for energy you can count on. So I'd love to invite anyone who's interested in learning more about kind of just a different approach to thyroid to come hang out and check out some of those events. I'm really excited to be launching those.
Amazing. And we're going to hook everyone up in our show notes with respect to those events. And Sarah, where can we send people just to be able to take in the wisdom that you share on a consistent basis?
Absolutely. You can come hang out with me on Instagram. I'm at Sarah Vadboncoeur, which I'm sure Megan will spell out for all you non-French people.
I will.
And my clinic website is docherryclinic.ca.
I love it. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been great.
The Entrepology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Entrepology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Entrepology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Entrepology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there. Earlier in the episode, I mentioned FullScript. Remember, FullScript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional-grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. For example, when you write a prescription with FullScript, it gets sent directly to patients via text or email. And when they place an order, their supplements get shipped right to their front door. It's incredibly convenient for everyone involved. The most incredible part, though, is that it's completely free and available to all kinds of practitioners. Actually, while we're on the subject, every account has the ability to adjust profit margins or even choose a no-profit option. This gives you complete control over balancing revenue with patient affordability. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give FullScript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using FullScript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about FullScript. Remember, tell them I sent you.